This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by Soties Australia. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. Today's guest is the formidable Gay Wardle. If, like me, you're fangirling over Gay being on this episode, then you'll absolutely not need any introduction necessary. However, I shall give you one anyway. Gay Wardle is a businesswoman, coach, mentor, and an internationally recognized speaker and educator. In 2015, Gay was awarded Educator of the Year at the Australian Beauty Industry Awards through her passion for skin analysis, which she drives the agenda of both nationally and internationally. Through Gay's dedication and commitment to learning and teaching others, Gay has established herself as one of the most respected icons in the skin and beauty industry. Her work as an educator and practitioner was celebrated in 2014 when she was inducted into both the ABIA Hall of Fame and the Reid Exhibition Hall of Fame. If you've sat down in one of Gay's Everything You Need to Know About Skin classes, you'll know Gay is anything but just a beauty therapist. She's intelligent, kind, humble, and an absolute queen of the beehive behind all things skin. Gay and I speak to the industry as a whole, the importance of education and sometimes lack thereof, as well as looking at some of her mentors that have helped her along her journey. Here is Gay Wardle. Welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast.
Oh, thank you, Tamara. Thank you. I feel so privileged to be here. Oh. And honey, before we start, I just want to say how amazing you are for what you are bringing to the industry, and you know the community that you're actually creating has been so long.
Oh,
needed.
Thank you.
And you're amazing for doing that. And I think, you know, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I should say thank you for welcoming me because we're in your beautiful house looking out on the Gold Coast River here, and it's absolutely stunning. So thank you for having me in your space. Gay, you've been one of the most requested guests the podcast. Everybody wants to know a piece of Gay Wardle, and I want to start all the way back at the very beginning because I think this is something that a lot of people don't know about you. How and why and when and where did you start in the industry?
Oh my gosh. That was so long ago. And I remember I was just a bright-eyed little bushy-tailed graduate from getting my diploma, and this little business came up for sale not far from where my college was, and I convinced my husband to buy it for me. At the time we had a block of land, and you know, I said, sell the land, I'm going to make you so much money, and you know, it's going to be incredible, have an amazing life. He did, and we bought this clinic, and I stuffed it. I failed. I had no idea about business, and it was a big lesson for me. So you know, that was my first, I guess, initiation after graduating into this industry. I know you have to kind of learn a lot more than what you do at college when you get out, when you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I kind of had 20 years with Alabashe, which I really,
right,
when I think back about those times, it was probably, you know, early stages of beauty therapy where we didn't have anything. You know, glycolics hit the scene much later in the 80s and late 80s, early 90s, and we didn't have anything, and it was just like, but we had great education, and I'd really attribute my learning to that because I was a sponge, and they provided amazing education. Every other weekend there was something that we could go to.
Right.
So I did that, and my children were still young, and then from there I did some repping. I think there's not one thing that I haven't done in this industry, just some repping. And then I imported my own skincare range from New Zealand, a little aromatherapy range. And And I realised how important it was to educate people. Mm. You can't just sell, you've got to have education as well. So I built that on education, basically, on, you know, running as many courses and making sure that it wasn't just a product they knew, but understanding the skin. So I had to learn. I had to keep going back and learning and stuff like that. So I did that for some time, and then, you know, things just fell into place for me, and I was, you know, asked to do education for other people, which I started to really love. And I realised probably that was one of my passions, is to just educate. But apart from that, to keep learning, because when you educate, you have to study.
Mm.
Otherwise, you don't keep up with the time. So it made me keep growing my own education as well, attending conferences as many as I could afford because it's so expensive, you know, and and then I've had clinics, and I think the important part about owning a clinic as an educator is to be able to do the treatments and understand what people are asking and looking at skins. The more skins you see, the more you learn as well.
Mm.
So it's just a learning journey for me. I've loved every bit of it, and I'm still learning.
Amazing. Yeah. So education for you, as you said, it was kind of that light bulb moment that you knew you had to keep studying in order to A, teach others, but then also B, have a space, because you're effectively training your team and you want to stay up to date with the kind of latest technologies and everything that's out there. Where do you get your learnings from? I mean, you said a little bit of Alabache, you traveled around with other product houses as well, but how do you stay fresh and how do you stay knowledgeable?
Well, I attend, I kind of plan each year which conferences I'm going to, and I try to attend 4 medical conferences, as well as I go to the Expo, Sydney Expo, Melbourne Expo, and attend all of those talks there as many as I can. But, you know, I really do believe that we have to have at least 2 or 3 major conferences that we attend each year. I think that's what I love about what you're doing, is that you're bringing that to the industry as well.
Mm.
And I really encourage people to support and go along to that. The thing with why I choose a lot of the medical conferences is not that I think they're better than the beauty conferences. I think they're more supported.
Right.
And so then they're more sustainable. Whereas a lot of the conferences that suppliers put on, that I take my hat off to them, but people don't always support them. And it's so expensive to do that. It's not like, you know, $5 to put on a conference. It costs thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
And I think those companies that supply those for us, if we don't give them support, they kind of peter out and they kind of get a little bit weaker, I guess, if I can say that without...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even our event, and I'm always open and honest, any event we run, whether it's a brunch or a summit, it costs $4,000 all the time, right? So if we don't fill the spots, if we don't get bums on seats, if people don't come, then there's no reason, well, not that there's no reason, but there's no stability for us to run the event. And that's why I'm always trying to say to people, come to all the events so that we can keep having them, because people are asking for them. Absolutely. And I hear that a lot from education as well. And you run your own classes, right? So if you have a class and you have 12 people or 20 people or whatever that looks like, if people don't take the space and they don't come, then it makes it really difficult for you to keep giving them that education.
Absolutely. And my classes aren't, I don't think they're expensive for what they what I provide, but they're not cheap either. And it's not just paying for the course, it's taking time out of your workplace, and if people bring staff member, and often people have to travel. So it's expensive to have education. It really is. And that's why a lot of the online education is taking off, which is great, but you still can't replace it with that face-to-face and that connection. I think that personal connection is really important.
Yes.
So... Yeah, you know, I just hope that people continue to support things that you're doing, things that I'm doing, things that other educators are doing, like providing this amazing education platform.
Yeah.
I hope that gets supported so that we can keep growing, because I know so many people that are still doing what they were doing 10 years ago.
Yes.
And they haven't got out of that little cocoon.
Mm.
And I think they've got so much to offer.
Mm.
I think just...
grow and expand. As an educator yourself, I mean, when you're sitting in a classroom, you can see that maybe somebody's more of a visual learner because they're looking at the diagrams you're drawing on the board, or, you know, maybe if they're more of an auditory and they're writing things down and listening as you're speaking, you as an educator can tailor your content to that person in the room. And online is amazing. There's always going to be a space for online, but I too just love that kind of that custom connection that you can get in a classroom.
Absolutely. And instant questions and yeah, let's face it, we all learn from everybody else.
Yes.
So in a classroom environment, when someone is asking a question, everyone's got to hang on to see what the answer is, you know, or have some input into that.
Yeah, that's
because
so
true.
Because
let's face it, not every educator has every single answer.
Yes.
So I learn every time I teach.
Yeah.
I learn so much.
And so you're learning for free. And I guess also your students would kind of spur you on. If they ask you a question that you don't know the answer, well, then you say, hang on, sit with me for 24 hours. I'll go away. I'll research. I'll come back. And then you're constantly learning through that process.
Absolutely. And that happens. That happens. Like, there's so many experiences out there that people, you know, are privileged to have that aren't shared, and they are shared in a classroom environment.
Yeah. When did you owning a clinic come into the pathway there?
With education, you mean?
Not even with education, in your career, because was the clinic come first or the education came first?
Yes. The clinic came first. I went, you know, hit the ground burning with the first one, and then I've had 7 all up in my time. So... And I've learned lots of lessons, like crashed and burned.
Imagine.
And then I thought, I'm not doing that again. And I ended up having, like, you know, very successful clinics. And it's only because I've made loads of mistakes. You don't ever start off, well, some people do, I guess, but you never start off with going having success straight up.
Correct.
Like, you have to learn.
Yeah.
And I learnt the hard way. Yeah.
But you're stronger for it, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You make mistakes. And I think that's the big thing about being open, is when you do stuff up, that you turn around, okay, well, I did that and it wasn't great, so let's not do that again.
Yes.
But when you keep doing the same thing over and over again, that's when it is a mistake. You know, it's not a mistake anymore.
It's a mistake because you haven't learned from it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, I had clinics first. And it was only until probably the fourth or fifth clinic that I started to, because I also owned a clinic when I was importing. So it was only when I was importing the skincare that I got into education. I was really into it myself, but me providing it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And so you've just sold one clinic, opening another clinic. Oh. Is this number 8?
No, this is number...
This is
this
7.
Will be number 8. Oh, my God.
It never stops.
Yeah. Don't ask me why, because I don't have the answer. It's just stupidity. You know, I say that with tongue in cheek, but it's actually because I still love what I do.
Yeah.
I still love helping people. So to me, you know, you have to earn money, yes.
Mm.
But to me, I get so much pleasure seeing people change when they've got healthy skin.
Yes. Yes. So that's your passion.
I love
still
it.
Being a therapist.
Yeah, I love it. I do love it.
Yeah.
I don't love doing... I wouldn't want to do it full time because I've gone off in other directions, and I would miss what I'm doing if I was doing it full time. But I love to still play.
Yes.
Yeah. So in this new little adventure, which is going to be very tiny compared to what I've done in the past, I'll just be doing 2 days and just helping out whenever I'm needed.
Amazing.
Yeah, and
good.
Just doing what I do.
What's been the biggest lesson in owning now 8 businesses that you've learnt that you would hope by sharing your lesson you could help other business owners not perhaps making that mistake or learn as fast?
Sure. I think the biggest one is that staff connection. I think, you know, making sure that you... One of the biggest expenses that we have in business is staff.
Mm.
And I think we don't really realise that. You know, you employ someone and then you train them and you invest in them, and then if they're gone after 3 months... You've got to do it all again, and that's probably $20,000 that you've just spent.
Mm.
So you continually spend this money on trying to bring more people into your business. Yeah, you know, I like to take my time, find the right person, And sometimes that can take a long time to find that right person and then really invest in them, spend a lot of time with them, educating them, not just from me, from other people. I think that's so important.
Yes.
Like in this new business, I want you to be involved in that. So I think it's that collaboration of different brains and different minds and mindsets that will actually increase the knowledge of your people, and I think treating them well.
Mm.
Treating them really well and giving them respect. So yes. I think it's, and it wasn't always like that. Like, you know, in the beginning I was probably a little bit, you know, like, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And without realising it, being more of a dictatorial type environment rather than, okay, let's learn together here and let's develop together. And that's, I think it's staff.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's interesting that you can talk about education from a business owner point and also from the educator point, because educators are obviously standing there going, come to me, come to me, come to my classes, spend with me. But then from the business owner point, you're going, okay, well, we can't spend too much money on education, but I know I need to educate. So that's quite
hard.
Difficult. But I like what you said there, because even when I was managing and directing spaces, I would say things over and over and over again. And then I would have an educator come into the space, and then she would say what I said, but in a different way. And then the therapist would go, oh my gosh, Tamara, did you know this? And I'm going, yeah, I've been telling you that for the last 3 years.
I know. Isn't that just crazy? Like my team that I've had in the past, amazing, beautiful girls. But seriously, I can teach them something and then someone else will come in and teach them the same thing. And I go, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think we have to provide that to our team. Like we can't, they just turn off after a while. It's not that they mean to do it. It's just the nature of the person, you know, the nature of the business, that they love getting information from new people.
Yes.
And they learn better that way.
After the break, Gay shares with us what she thinks about the changes the industry is seeing at the moment, and two, shares with us some of the people that have been a mentor to her career. But first, a word from today's beauty partner. Community Sodies would like to announce the launch of the most exciting part of their global online sales strategy, a plan to future-proof the brand in an online-centric world to meet consumer demand, protect your business and future-proof the Sodies brand. Introducing Sodies Online Sales and Marketing Engine. Offering convenience for consumers, your business core values are respected with no general online sales for non-Sodies consumers. Your client base is password protected with individual web shops, as well as brand protection for your future success, mutual respect and full transparency. Sodies is a family business with a long tradition of quality and excellence and a strong foundation of advanced research at the core of their product innovation. The team at Sodies are committed to meeting all of your expectations as a business partner. To be a part of their global success story, call 1-800-816-599 to register your interest. Thank you so much to Sodies Australia for making this episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast possible. And now, back to Gay.
Yeah.
You've been in the industry for quite a while. There's been lots of change, both good and bad. What's some of the more positive stuff that you've seen that excites you about the industry and kind of where we're going?
Do you know, right now is the community within the industry. Mm. And you've been very much part of that. But I think, you know, like in the past, you go to training and everyone kind of keeps themselves and they don't want to share anything and no one kind of knew anyone. You know, it was all very isolated.
Yeah.
But I think what I'm loving and what I'm seeing now is that we have that community and people are talking. Like people in Perth are talking to people in Brisbane, for goodness sake. You know, all the time. So that connection and that development is amazing, because it actually will help the industry grow and grow and get stronger. You know, when we stand alone, we can't go anywhere. But when we build together, then we can do the amazing things. And I think that's the best thing that I've noticed. I mean, there's always going to be the latest and the greatest equipment and, you know, actives, and we all have those and we have different ones in our businesses. And not one is better than the other. It's what you choose to work with at that time. Mm. It doesn't make it better because you've got it, or better because you know, someone else is getting great results that they put up on Instagram or whatever.
Mm.
You know, we all have that, but I think we need to be able to chat with each other openly, and I love that now.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Obviously, that's my favourite part of the community. Because it was, you know, even, and this is why I started beauty industry, because when I was originally an educator, I was talking to one therapist and she was saying, you know, should I be getting new uniforms from a business owner? I just started. And then another therapist said, oh, well, we got 5 uniforms. Why didn't you? And then somebody else would go, oh, well, we got a pair of pants but not a T-shirt. Why didn't you? And I thought, this is strange. Isn't everybody just talking? And why are we only talking in class or like at an education day? Are you not continuing the conversation when you go back to clinic? And that was why we started. And it's so nice to see that now those conversations are being had outside of the classroom. You know, not once every 3 months when you see somebody from beauty school, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well done to you for actually creating that. And I agree, totally. Yeah.
What's perhaps some of the not so good stuff that you're seeing that you get a little bit anxious about in terms of treating the skin?
Okay, that's a great question, because I often see hand-me-down trainings with powerful pieces of equipment in clinics. And I often think maybe that's the fault of the supplier. When a supplier sells a piece of equipment, they should offer ongoing training for new staff members and also to refresh as well. That should be offered at, maybe it can be built into the price, maybe it should be offered at a reasonable cost to the clinic owner. But because it's not offered regularly, there's this hand-me-down training.
Yeah.
And it's not anyone's fault. It's just if you came along and you were, you know, experienced in laser and I come along and I knew nothing about it and you started teaching me, you're going to teach me your way of doing it, which is not right or wrong.
Mm.
It's just what you have learned. And then I'm going to take my perspective from that and change that again. And I think that's really dangerous. And I think the other thing I think is qualifications.
Mm.
You know, often, and that comes under training. You don't have to have a degree to do the treatments, but you have to have the quality to be able to do that treatment.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that make sense to
you? Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably the one thing that I shudder about and one thing I get nervous about. You know, I always ask people, so that might be doing plasma or might be doing needling or might be doing, you know, working with lasers. Okay, so what are the layers of the skin? And I'm mortified. I'm mortified at the answer.
Yes.
Like, they don't even know. They've got epidermis and dermis. So what are the layers of the epidermis?
Yeah.
It stops there. You know, we can't burn someone's face off if you don't know what you're burning off.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, it almost ends up being Chinese whispers, you know. First person comes in, gets trained on laser, a new girl starts, we've got fully booked appointment columns the next day. I'll just quickly show you, but my way, but I forgot to say X, Y, and Z until a burn happens, and then the new therapist comes in, she trains her, and it's just distorted Chinese whispers, and all of a sudden we are having all of this trouble. But one thing I love about you and all of your classes is, you know, it's called Everything You Need to Know About Skin, you know, and it's like back to basics, because people don't know that there are the 5 layers of the epidermis. They don't know that there's different layers of the skin altogether, you know, and it scares me when people don't know. That's really what kind of makes me anxious about education and about the level that we're treating at today. I think sometimes the beauty schools go tick, 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 competent, 100%, now go into industry. And then they get into industry, and this was what the business owners are saying, we're having to train them all over again, you know.
Absolutely. I always say to people, like, when you finished your college years, and I wish someone had said this to me, because I would never have gone into business and lost money to start with. That it's just your apprenticeship years. Mm. So when you come out, then you've got to start learning. And it's not learning how that clinic does specific ways. Yes, you have to know that, but you have to continue to educate. And I think the one thing I find frustrating is that you have amazing clinic owners that are always putting their hands in their pockets to educate their staff, but their staff don't pay to educate themselves.
Mm.
Unless it wasn't being paid for, they wouldn't go.
Yes, correct.
And, you know, they've got to realise that that's a benefit to them for the rest of their time that they're in the industry.
Absolutely.
So it's important that that contribution is 50-50 sometimes, I think. I'll pay for this, you pay for the next one or whatever, just to make sure that they understand their value. It's always, there's a saying, if you don't understand the value of something, you'll never appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. Love that. Love that. I think it's so true. It's so true because a lot of the therapists, I mean, we won't even talk about millennial therapists who think they can be the manager before they even be the therapist. We'll skip past them because we could be here all day. But there are a lot of therapists who they don't even go to training because, and that's what they would say to me, well, tomorrow I'm not going to training because my business owner hasn't paid for it. You know, when I was fresh out of beauty school, I had one day off a week and I would always go to the product house always because I had a thirst. I wanted to know, how can I talk about a product? How can I hit my targets? How can I get results if I don't know what I'm talking about? So whether the business owner wants to pay me or not, I need to know, you know, and I my head just does not understand people who don't do that.
Absolutely. There's a saying, and I've actually got it on my education website, and it's if you can't explain it easy enough, then you don't understand it. And I think that's so true. If we can't talk to someone about their skin condition or their what's happening with their skin, then you don't know it. And if you don't know it, don't do it.
Yes, yeah. I love that. Because a lot of people would probably say to you, and they say to me, I know what's happening, but I just can't explain it. Yeah. And then I kind of say, well, a harsh reality is that maybe you don't actually know what it is if you can't explain it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I always try to, in the back to basics, I always try to keep it really, really low-key so that I try to make sure that they really understand what I'm talking about, because as an educator, the last thing you want anyone to do is to walk out of a classroom and go, oh, well, what was that all about? You know, that was a good couple of days, but what did I learn?
Yes.
And I couldn't stand that as an educator. So I think, you know, educators have to really understand how they communicate. And it's not just the skin now that we have to know. Like, we've got to know more about the, you know, the integumentary system. We've got to know about the nervous system. We've got to know about the gut. There's so much we have to. Like, our field has gone from being this to this now.
Huge, yeah.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, you obviously have retained so much information. Do you have any tips or tricks for helping, you know, students to remember information, or how is it in your brain, all of this incredible, you know, wealth of knowledge?
Well, a lot of it is, I've been doing this for quite some time, so it's repetition. You know, a lot of that is, you know, when you're teaching things over and over and over again, you retain it, you have to. But I also do a lot of reading and I do a lot of research. And if I read something and I don't understand it, I'll really research it until I find out. And I think, you know, opportunities that you're given in this industry, like the talk that we did with Sodis last year, I love that because I had to go and learn about a subject that I never really thought about.
Yes.
And how that affects the skin. And now that's one of the most amazing things. I think about that all the time.
I actually think about that all the time.
No.
All the time. So just for our listeners, Gay did a keynote presentation on pollution and the effects of the skin for the Soti's new Energize range. And every morning I put on their serum before I go for my run. Granted, I sweat half of it off because it's Queensland's 99% humidity. but I put it on because I'm worried, you know, and I think about, okay, the ginseng is going to, you know, increase my ATP, and everything you said that day, I literally say back in my head every morning. And if I don't put it on, I'm running and I feel like, oh my goodness, my skin's going to be attacked by pollution.
Do you know, that's why you're so amazing for lots of things, but just that one thing that you just said, the ginseng, like you think about what is actually happening. And that's where we've got to be. That's what we've got to know. Not just, you know, this does this and X, Y, Z, but every little active in there has a reason it's there.
Yeah, and putting it practically as well, you know, so as I said, it's putting it on before going for a run because I know, well, I'm going out into pollution. But for a client, it's not talking about, you know, adenosine triphosphate and mitochondria. Yes, we need to know that. But to a client, just top-level information, it's absolutely like a protectant for your skin when you go out into pollution. You know, sometimes it's that communication. I wanted to ask you, because you have been inducted into the ABIA Hall of Fame and you've also won Educator of the Year. Did you ever think you would get to that kind of status, and what did that feel like?
Never in my wildest dreams. Never even thought it would. It didn't even enter my mind, because I never ever thought about it. And the night, that weekend that I did get inducted, I was also the night before inducted into the Reed Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So it was a double whammy for me that weekend. I was on a high from Reed, and then I'm at the ABIA Awards, and, you know, I just still think about it sometimes, the feeling that I had. It was unbelievable, and everyone was so gracious in, you know, supporting me, and, you know, like, I had a stand-up ovation. It was just amazing. Like, I was just incredible. And I think those awards themselves, what they bring to the industry, and I don't think you have to be amazing. You have to win an award to be amazing. Mm. I don't think. I think there's amazing people out there that don't even enter the awards. And if they enter, they don't receive an award. It doesn't make them less amazing than what they were. It's just, I think the awards sometimes can give you a little platform for marketing and things like that. But I think people kind of then think you have to win that to be amazing.
Yes.
I think winning it is an amazing experience, but it doesn't make you less amazing yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Educator of the Year, that was just the icing on the cake. Like, you know, but there's been some great educators that have won that award, like Otto, and, you know, people that have won that award after me and before me. And it was just a really lovely experience, and something I never expected either.
Yeah.
Because as an educator, you always think you're doing a great job, but to be recognised is
a whole nother level.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
And so you and I have been doing a little bit of work together to get your platforms online, so that, I mean, we can see, you know, just via your emails that come through and your Facebook, everyone's like, can you come here? Can you come here? Can you come here? And I would love to clone you, because that would make your job easier, right?
Well, I'd love to clone you, because you made it great.
But when we first started working together last year, I said to you, what do you want? What do you want out of this? And by putting your platforms online, what is that going to do for you? And you said to me, Tamara, I want to leave having a legacy. And I said to you, you're a crazy person, because you've already got this amazing legacy. But I'm wondering, what does success look like for you when you leave this industry? What do you hope you've done?
I guess success to me is seeing other people achieve. That's, you know, when I get so much gratification out of seeing someone ring up and say, I did this amazing treatment today, and, you know, the client's skin has just changed, and it was because of something that you said. Mm-hmm. That's success to me. Success isn't me being out there and going, oh, look at me. I hope I don't have an ego. I'm not like that. I like to, I guess, in one way, be remembered because people have been able to change things they've done because in some way I've helped them. But then they've helped me too. So in changing things that they've done that have helped people, that's helped me think, oh, it's amazing, I'll keep doing it for a bit longer. So that's success to me. It's not about money. It's not about having the biggest and the bestest car or whatever. It's not about that. It's watching other people achieve. And in my team, past team members, I must share something with you before we go, but my past team members that I've had, you know, some of those girls have gone on to build their own businesses, and they've done amazing jobs with that. And, you know, and I think in some way, you know, they've learnt from where they worked, and in a positive way.
Yeah.
They've taken some negatives too and turned them around to be positives. But, you know, like, I think that to me is success, watching them achieve.
Yeah, amazing.
And just one thing that they did, when I sold Skinology, Gemma and Tracy and Kylie, they all got together and recruited all past team members that have been there, whoever has worked for me for the last 23 years. And they organised this cocktail evening. And just the stories that they told, and they came, and some of them hadn't seen each other for years and years and years, but they came, and the stories that we share, and knowing where they're at, and knowing that we can still get together like that as a little community of our own because we worked together was just, I cried so many tears the next day, that night, the next day, because it was just getting welled up now, because it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that they did, and I was grateful that I was part of that.
Yeah, well, you're a mentor to all of them, you know, and sometimes even if people work for somebody for 3 months or 6 months or a year, sometimes that's the most impactful 3 months, 6 months, a year that they've ever had in their career, and that's what you are to so many people.
But don't you think they mentor you back too?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I want to ask you for our final question. Sure. In your career, have you had anyone in this industry who you've looked up to or who has kind of mentored you and given you that guidance along the way?
Absolutely, I have, and I've had quite a few. So I've been very, very, very lucky. Flo Barrett, amazing mentor, and I had the privilege of doing her courses for a year or so here in Australia, and she mentored me, and it was a great time. Yeah, Danae. You know, Danae Montague King, he is amazing. He's a great mentor. And I have I'm very fortunate because I have that where I can actually talk to him and communicate with him anytime. Mm. And he's a fantastic mentor. He's been around forever. So I love him. He's fantastic. You know, Tina Viney, people like that have, you know, that have been around. I've had the privilege of working with great people like Marie Coccioloni, Debbie and Daniel Dixon, Matt Moncrief from High Tech Laser. They've all been special in my growth phases. Mm. You know, business coaches I've worked with as well, like Bridget Binge, Faye Murray, you know, Carolyn Nelson, people like that. They've all been amazing mentors, and recently yourself as well. You know, yeah, I think we need to have these people in our lives. They're positive. Mm. They don't bring negativity, and they put you on a positive journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gay Wardle, thank you so much for spending time with me this morning.
Thank you. It's been absolutely a pleasure, and I've loved this. You're amazing. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so when I grow up, I want to be Gay Wardle. Gay's career is beyond impressive, and to think about how humble and down-to-earth and passionate she is about such a highlighted pathway already, it's just no wonder that she's been as successful as she has. No doubt you love this episode as much as I did, so please feel free to continue to do all of the supportive work you've been doing, which hasn't gone unnoticed, by the way, in sharing and tagging us at Beauté Industry across your social story shares. Gay was a podcast guest so heavily requested by you, so make sure you continue to let me know who you want to hear from over in our Beauté Industry Facebook community, and I will continue to have the conversations. You'll find Gay across the gram at Gay Wardle and myself at Tamara Shaw Reid to share the love. Subscribe, like, follow, and all of the good things to keep these episodes coming. Until next time, stay connected.